Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I'm just going to do that. Might want to turn this thing. I mean, it feels hot. Better dial that back just a little bit. It's picking up everybody on the back row. Might want to repeat ourselves so the people on the back row can hear it. Can you hear me? I can hear you too, Lisa. I guarantee you that. But let me, since I won't have hands, let me take this off right quick.
Leave that like that.
All right. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Praise God. It's a wonderful thing when we get a little adversity. You know, I think the proverb today was 17 because it's the 17th day. 17:17 says that a brother is born for adversity, but a friend loves at all time. And don't you know, and aren't you glad that you got a friend in Jesus? He's always there. He's always there, just like what we're saying. That mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what? I really want to get a tattoo and put it on my back. That'll be my back piece. You know, mercy and goodness back there with some praying hands in the middle. Because it's always following me. If I'd get a tattoo, that's what I'd do. But I don't think I'm going to get one. But anyway, I love it. And I was talking to a brother, you know, he was talking about, you know, he prayed for me. And in his word of praying, he was saying that I'd be like a skier behind a ski boat this morning. Hanging on. The Lord's the ski boat, right? So I'm just hanging on and let the Lord drag me wherever he wants to go. I don't know if y'all have ever skied before behind a boat, pontoon, anything, but a little some speed behind it. But I've had some encounters. My earthly father was dragging me behind one time. And we was on some smooth water. And I cut out around the boat. And he cut it real hard. And he got down on that thing. I said, "There you go, Pop." Then all of a sudden I looked up and seen what he was really doing. There was a buoy right there. He was trying to throw me into the buoy. I had to bail out. And when I bailed out, I probably tumbled 20, 30, 40, 50 times across that smooth glass water. Good thing my heavenly Father will not do that to me. He brings and allows adversity and stuff to come to us, but he doesn't do it to harm us or to mock us or to laugh at us. He does it because he wants you to be who you are supposed to be. And if we stay in a certain place and think we're comfortable, this thing is hot. I might put a stand over here. Yeah, I just hear myself reverb, and I don't know if I'm supposed to or not. But anyway, he's not going to do it to harm us. He's doing it to condition us and to bring the things out. Because look, let's just be truthful for a minute. If I know that I'm going into some adversity, I'm going to probably stop. I'm not going to keep going. So a lot of the things that we're going to go through are very unexpected. That one feels good. This must be Pastor Terry's. I can feel it. And here, that's that one. drink of water here, but I'll take a drink of that. All right. That living water. Anyway, he's going to bring stuff to us that we're going to be not expecting, more than likely, because if we expect things, then we're not going to go. We're not going to go through these things. But we need to go through those things because what he's doing is perfecting us and bringing us into his likeness, and he's working all those things out. I've heard so many, like Wednesday night, Pastor John. I mean, he don't know that I'm about to do this, and I mean, the Lord laid it on my heart. But I would just like to say thank you, Brother John, for how you've come in and plugged and chugged along and really just opened up your heart, and the Lord's used you and poured you out like a drink offering to all of us through these months. And I know you don't want the recognition, brother, but we know we're going to give the glory to God. But I appreciate you and I love you because you are a true, true brother. He had a word that come through the other night that this really has stuck with me. And in this thing, a brother is born for adversity. But I don't know how many people grew up with siblings. It really helps you out. Just like adversity and all, it doesn't feel good at the moment you're going through these things, but in the end result, you're much better for it. But during that, if you had brothers or sisters, whatever, but more so in the brothers, but the girls, I know if you got girls in there, and I got a stable of girls. There's some competition in there. It just feels like it, but I don't even know if they even understand it's competition, because more than likely what it really is just a lot of self involved. And that's what that adversity works out. You're going to have to submit or give into, or you're just going to stay butting heads and fighting all the time. So a sibling helps you work that out. And so that's what it's talking about. But it says, but that brother, he's going to be there and he's going to work that adversity and all those things are going to come out. But here it is. You're going to have that competition. That's what he said. I'm not here to compete with you. I'm here to complete you. So that's how the body is. We're not here to compete with one another. We're here to complete one another. We cannot get there without each other. It's by his design, not mine. When he speaks and he does these things, and that's where it's all at, we have to make sure that we don't have that competition in our heart. I'm not here to compete with you. I'm not here. I'm here to help complete you. But sometimes that feels like, my goodness, you're coming against me. Well, again, if it feels like we're coming against each other, then there's something in here that he's trying to work out. There's something he's trying to work out. Something's not quite right with you. And it's okay. It's okay to see. And when that revelation comes, oh, is something going on here? Yes, there is. It's called the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting to work on you. He's wanting to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to make you as he is. Because he is true. He is life. He's all these things. So he's life. This is where, I mean, he woke me up early this morning on some stuff, and he kind of took me back to something I really wasn't even going through, but as I read down through it, it all lined up. It carries right over. And that's something that I'm going to get into as well about how understanding and things like that, it all flows together. Understanding. And I'll never get off that Proverb 4:7. To where it says that wisdom is the principle or the supreme thing. He wants you to have that wisdom. And wisdom is truly the discernment and the way that you can choose wisdom. Wisdom controls your choices. With wisdom, it controls your choices. Should I do this? Should I do that? Wisdom is supreme. But all you're getting, get understanding. So I never get off that, and I mean, I might be like a cymbal resounding around because
It's huge. It's huge in my life. And I believe it's huge in your life. Because without those things, we're not going to get to that completion part. And there's another part to that that we have to have through the spirit of wisdom, through the spirit of knowledge and understanding. That word. His word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay? Now, what happened over into the garden? We go to Luke 4. We know that where he's going out, I think it is where he's going out to the wilderness and all these things. And I was talking to the guy today. I think it's Luke 4 he's in. Matthew 4, Luke 4, all this going in. But anyway, when he comes up on John the Baptist and he gets baptized in the water. What is that baptism of water? It's a baptism of repentance. And we're going to get in that too. But that water is not what's going to say, are you saved? Yeah, I've been baptized. Would that be good? I'd believe that if you tell me that you've been baptized in the Spirit of God. Not just in water. The water, when you take that step, it actually just says, hey, I'm proclaiming that I don't think correctly. And I need to think correctly. So I'm going to go in this water to tell all of you that I'm ignorant. But I want to be intelligent. I want to be wise. I want to make a wise choice. And I'm telling you today, if I go in that water, I'm coming up saying, I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, as I follow Jesus, you see it three different places in the Word where people get hit and baptized by the Spirit of God. And there's three reasons in there. Because one, when he says that the Spirit of God, you know, you have baptism. Remember the Ethiopian? He's riding in his chariot. And he's got this scripture, a scroll, that he picked up while he was up in Jerusalem. And he's going back home. But see, the Lord already set up a guy named Philip. And he told him to go down this dark road. It's probably dark. They didn't have lights like we got. And he went down that road. And he said, you go down there. And guess what? Philip did what he told him to do. Well, as he's going down that road, all of a sudden he sees this carriage or however he's traveling. But it's like he's in a carriage going down the road. And the Lord tells him, the Holy Spirit tells him to go to him. And I can picture it right now. The Ethiopian sitting there, he's going over this thing and he's reading these scrolls about he was beat beyond. He's carried the worries and the cares. He's beaten for our transgressions and all these things. And he's like, what is this? And he's reading Isaiah 53. That's the scroll he's reading. And so, but he has no understanding. He doesn't know what he's actually reading. He cannot comprehend and take in what he's reading. He's like, how am I supposed to do that? And I said, the Spirit of God, I bet you, Philip's just floating right over there beside him. And could you imagine if you're just sitting there and you think you're all alone going down a dark road and all of a sudden he's like, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden you hear something, I'll tell you. Could you just picture? What? Who are you? Well, if you pull over a little bit, I tell you. Well, just come on in here. So he comes on in here. See, that's what the Spirit of God, if you would ask him to come on in, he's going to come on in there with you in this carriage. And he'll tell you. And he got to the point where he's like, well, how can I want to be baptized. He said, well, there's some water. Let's pull over and get it. So they pulled over. And he went in and he baptized him in the water. He repented. He said, hey, I want to change. I want to think like him. I want to be like him. I want to be this. I want to be this follower of this Christ. So they got him in the water. But look, it says when he came up out of the water, the Lord, the Spirit of God, took Philip away. And when the Ethiopian came up, he didn't see Philip. But he said that he had joy all over him. The Spirit of God fell on that man at that moment because it was a true repentance. It was a true heartfelt change in his life. And as soon as he did that, the Spirit of God knew, and he was there to be infiltrated inside of that body forever. Hallelujah is right, Henry. But see, he looked around and Philip wasn't there. Why? Like I said, there was three times it talks about it. One time you're going to get the Spirit of God. You can get the Spirit of God and baptize in the Spirit of God before you get into the water. Then like I'm talking about, here's the illustration. You can get it when you're in the water. But then sometimes you can go in the water and it takes a little while before the Spirit of God gets upon you like that when you get saturated. Baptismo means to be saturated in the substance that you went down in. To die, D-Y-E. Which means if you got a white or pretty pink shirt you got on, it's going to come up in whatever color, whatever it's been saturated in. It's going to be through and through, through the threads, to where you can't tell what it used to be or whatever. All you know is what it is right now. That's the Spirit of God, and that's the baptism of Jesus Christ. For John told Jesus, hey, you need to baptize me. But he says, no, you're going to baptize me so I can fulfill all righteousness. Because Jesus didn't need to really repent in that water. And John the Baptist really wanted the baptism of Jesus because he wanted that fire. He wanted that Spirit. But he understood it was not for him. What did Jesus say? He said, there's no greater man than John the Baptist that's been born. He said, but the least of you will be greater than he. Why? Because we are like that Ethiopian. He wants to come inside of this carriage, this vessel, and be carried around so that he can do the work. That's why Philip wasn't sitting there when he came up with all this joy and all the glory of the Lord, because he didn't want his eyes to be on man. He wanted his eyes to be on him. And so many times we want to look unto a man. We want to judge a man. Even say, man, we're faulty. We're awful. Don't look at the man. Let your eyes be able to see the Spirit of God. Let your ears be able to hear the Spirit of God that's coming out, because it's, I guarantee it's not that vessel. It's what's going to come out of him. What did Jesus say? It's not what a man puts in him that defiles him. It's what comes out of him that's going to defile him. There's the fruits, his actions, all these things. Hallelujah. Didn't know I was going through all that, but it's still going to line up. So in the beginning was the Word. Word was God. Why do we need it? Do I need the Holy Ghost? Do you need the Holy Ghost? My goodness, right. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have life. You might have it for a moment. You might have it for a moment right here. But God already spoke way back that my Spirit will not contend with you forever. Then he spoke again. And he says, what I'm going to give you, the promise, the Spirit of God, I'm going to give you the promise. And it's not just going to be on you. It's going to be in you. And it's going to be with you forever. It's not going to be separated. It cannot be separated. It is solid. It is true. It is the way. It is the life. That's him. And I believe so much that we don't even give the Holy Spirit his dues. Don't you know that he is God? He is God in you. He is. The Holy Spirit is Lord.
And when he comes in you, that's the Lord in you. Jesus is Lord, yes, but they're all one and the same. Jesus said, hey, if you see me, you see the Father. And here, my God, the God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'll give you this. How do I know he said he's going to give you this? He tells you. He's the bread of life. He said the word is the bread of life. I need the Holy Spirit. I need his word. Who is the word? Jesus said, he is the word. The word came and dwelt among us, but now the word's going away. And now he says, what? What's the part of the promise? The promise is that I'll send back the Spirit of God. And what he's going to do? I will write my word on the tablets of your heart. Just like it was spoken today. My goodness, when something comes, adversity comes, whatever it comes, what you going to do with it? Well, you're going to line it up with the word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, you better discard it. All right. You can hold on to it if you want to. But there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. You got to discard the life of this world, the flesh, the carnal mind, the carnal soulish person. And that's because the soul wants to be led. It has to be led. The soul wants to live, but the lie came to say that I can live without the word. You cannot live without the word. Jesus told him out there in the desert, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what is he telling you? You better have the word in you. I better pick this up right here more than I should that taco. Oh, I better eat on this thing more than I should that chicken wing. Oh, my goodness, Lord, I love tacos. I love chicken wings. I know you do, son. But just like the man that you are in carnality, life, them tacos and chicken wings aren't going to supply you forever. But this word in my spirit, which was manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, that dwelt among us, that showed us, taught us, even back then. But don't you know that you can walk with him just like they did right now? He's given it to you. He's gave you the word. He's gave you his spirit. He's gave you everything that you need. And that's what we have to hinge our life on. That's what our focus needs to be on. Because without it, you cannot be who he's called you to be. Maybe we don't want to be that. But he told them over in John 6. Let's go to John 6 right quick. And then we'll... I'm glad y'all give me an extra 10 minutes. Let's go to John 6 and I'll run through it real fast. Let's just pick up, I'm in the MEV, which is a modern English version. It might be a little different from what you guys got or what they have here. But let me get over here. And it's very important because here it is. Don't you, do you understand? There's only like one miracle thing that happens in the Gospels that's recorded in every Gospel. And it's where he feeds the 5,000, the 4,000, the 7,000, how many it is. I mean, it's people, men it records, but my goodness, I don't know how many people were actually there. Loaves and fishes. He broke them. So here, look what it says over here, but it says, Jesus is the bread of life. And I'm going to jump down, and he's already fed them, okay? Because he says in 10, he says, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, numbering about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise they distributed the fish and as much as they wanted. All right, so when it was all over, it says, when they had their what? Fill. Fill.
Have you had your feeling today? Had you have your feeling? Have you been filled today? Is it just tacos, chicken wings, shrimp? Or is it the Spirit of God? Is it the bread of life? So they collected the fragments that remained, that nothing may be lost. How cool is that? How cool is that? Let's jump over. 22. The following day, the people who stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. However, the other boats came from Tiberias and near the place where they ate bread, and the Lord had gave thanks. When the people therefore saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were still there, they also got onto boats and came to Capernaum, looking for who? Jesus. All right. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you come? How did you get here? All these things. They were bewildered. How do you get one place to another? We don't know how you're traveling. See, what they don't understand, knowing that that's when Jesus walked on the water. He walked himself over there. But he didn't walk all the way. Because just like, hallelujah, Lord, just like the Ethiopian was walking or riding in the carriage, and Philip was, I don't know, levitating, gravitating, floating down the road with him in the Spirit of God. He looked out, well, get on in here. Well, that's what they said to Jesus too. Well, come on if that's you. Don't you think it's funny though right here? I thought it's, I'm like, John. I said, beloved John. Because there's a part missing in the story. John didn't write down about Peter walking on the water too. You know, and I'm like, well, John, beloved John. The rest of them didn't call him beloved. He called himself beloved. It's good that he knew that. And it's good that you know that too. But I'm like, John, is there a little competition in there? Is that why you left your brother out? Well, there was something, because don't you remember when Peter was standing with Jesus out there and Jesus is questioning his love? What about him? Yeah, who was him? John. Jesus, don't worry about him. You follow me. But see, as they went, he didn't have that in there. He didn't put it in there. But you know what? I was like, wow, that's kind of, But you know, they were just like us, learning to walk this out. Did they upset the Lord? Yeah, they did. Because he said, you're a little faith. How long should I put up with you? When are you going to get a hold of this thing? It's a process. Don't be discouraged, y'all, in the process. When adversities come, when obstacles come, when people rub you the wrong way, I kind of can get abrasive at times to people, and they take me the wrong way. And I apologize. But look, if what you sharpening your knife on didn't have a little grit to it, you're not going to sharpen that thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for making me a brace. I ain't trying to justify my flesh right now either, y'all. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. But look, Pat, I'm glad you need to put an edge on yours. But I've learned in sharpening knives that the harder you go, the more edge you put on it. But you keep going hard on it, you're going to take the edge right off of it. So as soon as you start getting the edge on it, then you got to go a little softer to fine tune it. Then you can slice some paper. It's a process. I love Pat. She's a sister, not a brother.
Sisters can be adversarial too, kidney. You know, they can bring it. So look, they chasing after Jesus. They wondering how he got here from there. And Jesus, they don't even know how he got there. But now, he says, but look, how'd you get here? But Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for that food which endures to what? Eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they asked him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered him, this is the work of God, who that you believe in him who he has sent. Now, that word believe is a Greek word, pistoo. That pistoo, I like to say right here, it's got a couple, it's actually believe, but it's also in trust. And I've explained this before at times, but again, it's very important. If you just start plugging in the word in trust, it'll start maybe opening some things up for you. So what does it say? So it says that what? It says, so this what? Let's go back over that right quick. So what does it say? So that what? He said, this is the work of him that you entrust in him whom he has sent. That entrust is like an investment. What are you putting into him? Are you entrusting him with your life? And that's what I'm talking about. When you get in this water, what your proclamation is that I'm changing the way I'm thinking. I'm no longer going to entrust in myself. I'm putting all my stuff in him. Right? That's faithfulness. If I've been found faithful, what that looks like is that I have entrusted my life into him. And when I'm found faithful, he sees that. He's got record of that. He's got a deposit of that. He's got it. But look, I cannot give what I do not have. So guess what he does? He's gave you the trust. He's entrusted you with the promise. He entrusted you, John 3:16. God so entrusted the world with his only begotten Son, that whosoever entrusts in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And what Jesus is saying right here, he's reiterating what he's been saying the whole time, that I need you to believe, I need you to entrust in him so that you will not what? Work after. Go after the things not that's going to perish. Go after the things that's going to give you eternal life. The bread of life. Won't you come and work after that? Look, I'm guilty, man. I'm guilty of not eating enough of this. This used to be my lunchbox. It used to be my lunch. I said used to be. I'm eating too many tacos and chicken wings nowadays. Well, I mean, I'm just being real. Hey, Randy, can you play that right quick? I got a little song. You want to hear it?
It's got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. Hey, how you been? It's been a while, and I'm just checking in. I miss the way things used to be. Back in 2017, and I just miss my friend. Hey, I've been fine. I've been struggling to find some peace of mind. It's the problem of a nation, and in our generation, we're too busy. Can't find the time. Are we busy, or is it all love?
Does anybody get a time at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings to pop on their iPhone of usage of time? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know how I didn't tell it to, but it's been doing it for a long time. Six hours a day. That's what I got on my phone. My average is 6 hours a day on my phone. Y'all can hang me if y'all want to. Well, I don't care, but I'm just going to tell you what it is. Dust on my Bible, but I got a brand new iPhone. And I wonder why I feel this way. Come on. Listen, just because it looks like the next best thing doesn't mean that that's going to bring you the eternal life and the fulfillment of what you are looking for. You will not get your fill on that iPhone. You will not get your fill by having people on social media giving you likes. You will not get what you're looking for on there, because it's just like dope, man. It's going to try to get you and carry you away to keep you away from what's really going on. I've been under conviction with mine for so long. I didn't really have a phone back then, when this was my lunchbox. I kind of graduated to a flip phone. This was still my lunchbox. But the time I got one of them highfalutin things, gradually starts pulling me away from my lunchbox. But praise be to God that the Holy Spirit is there, and He wrote and inscribed those things on my heart, because I can't study enough to memorize this Bible. My goodness, the only way I know what the Bible is because He is in me and He flows out of me. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, you can't give what you don't have. And if it's not in there, you can't have it. And when adversity comes, you can't speak the truth into it. You don't know which way to go. You're going to be tore up. You're going to have confusion. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be all this stuff going on. And that's what the enemy wants. That's what the world wants, because it wants you to take away from that. But I'm here to tell you right now, just like what we're singing today, I heard it. He hears me when I cry. Why? Because He has set me apart. He has set me apart. He will hear me when I cry, says the Psalms. So they're following after Jesus, these things. Let me get here, because I want to get to another spot right quick, like. Look what he says, truly in 32. Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. From the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now look what it says here. Let's keep rolling. All right. Then said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I told you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. You don't put your trust in me. All who the Father gives me will come to me, and he who comes to me, I will never cast out. I will not lose. He says it in John 10 again. All those that God given me, I will not lose. Everyone that's in my hand will not be lost. What did he say over there when they was breaking the bread and giving it out? Oh my goodness, he said he took all the scraps, all the remnants. He got them all up. And he said none were lost. None were lost. You might think you're just a crumb in this loaf of bread, but my goodness, you're not going to get lost. You're still in the sack. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate that manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that no one may eat of it and not die. Come on. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. He said, I'm going to give it. Are you going to take it? Will you receive me? Man, that's an evangelistic word. My goodness, it sure is. But I'm going to tell you, you got to take a step. You got to take a step. You got to entrust. You got to gather the remnants of what you can grab a hold of. Because I'm telling you, by the iPhones and the technology comes, my goodness, get you one of these. Get you a tangible word of God that you can hold, you can caress, you can write down, you can mark, you can leave your statements in there. You can give your revelation, put it down in there. You can get your understanding opened up. And you can say, oh my goodness, I heard this over here in this chapter. Oh, I got this over here in this book. My goodness, you connected the dots. And what does that do? Man, it builds up the Spirit of God in you, and it makes you bulletproof. Indestructible. And the Lord God who I praise, what can man do to me? That's in the Psalm 2.
All right. This time, my goodness. Go to Luke right quick. I got 2 minutes. Luke 24. Because here's very important. This is a very important part. I've been going through some battles. I don't know if y'all have or not. Maybe y'all just sitting on the sideline. I don't know. But my goodness, I'm on the battle line. Whether I want to be or not, I'm in the battle. But you know what? Buddy's with me here he flipped over there in Revelation 22 and got to reading that thing. I said, oh, praise God. The Lord has won the war. He's won the war. All right. He's won the war. Look what he says. All right. On the road to Emmaus is what this is, okay? They got the doom and gloom. They think he's gone. They can't understand that he's done left me. He didn't fulfill what he come to fulfill. And my goodness, they don't really understand that why he's on it. It is fulfilled, right? It is for finished. They don't understand. Maybe he's gone. They can't put eyes on him. They don't understand. They didn't have this tangible word of God back then. All they did have was the word, the rhema word of God, what he spoke, and they had to hold on to it. And unless that sticky glue got there, they're going to lose it. You know what I mean? But he's going to stick it to you nowadays. My goodness, if you forget, you got a place to go to that where you can remind yourself and encourage yourself. Paul said, hey, build yourself up. Jesus said, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in tongues. Hey, my goodness, I want to believe in that too. But he also says, my goodness, this right here will strengthen you, that bread of life. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, huh? That all these things must be fulfilled, which were written by the law of Moses and the prophets of the Psalms concerning me. All right, look. He ain't there. King James says, then he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. This is huge. There's two words right there. That's understanding, right? He said, understanding, understanding. My goodness, it's almost like whoever continues in the word will know the word, and the word will make you free. That's the same words really right there when you're in the group. Eleutheroo, making you free. The truth will do that. This is the truth. He is the truth. He is the bread of life. But look, the first word right here says that he illuminated. He opened their minds, the understanding. What does that look like? It's called nous. Not like a hangman's noose, but it might be, because you got to choke that carnal man out, my goodness. Are you never going to get there? You understand? Hallelujah. So when he come there, he said, so that noose means what? That noose means to open up. Understanding. Noose, that word noose, when he opens it up, it means to open the capacity to grow you inside. So that you can hold more what? Knowledge. Not just useless knowledge.
so that you can know him more. He will touch you, and he will illuminate this word. He will illuminate your spirit, your mind, the epicenter of your soul, to where you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. And my goodness, and then it goes on, so that you will understand the scriptures. And that is the nesis, is what it really says, which means to connect the dots, to flow together. Once he starts illuminating your mind, open it up where you can hold more of this knowledge of him, so you can eat more and ain't got to worry about the waistline. You're going to want to keep eating. I've never in my life had something I could just eat, not be no bleat. Praise God. I mean, that right there is a sell pitch right there if I ever heard one. I could probably sell some condos off that, brother. I ain't trying to sell it. Trying to give it away. So that noose means to open up, and the synesis means to flow together. When you get in here, you can go to Genesis, and it's going to connect you in Revelations. And it's going to flow you right down the river of life. In closing, he said, it is written, and according it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Look here. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are a witness of these things. And look, I am sending what? The promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the confines of your wonderful prayer room closet. Wait in that place to where you can sit down and divide the word of truth correctly. Wait until he can open up your mind and illuminate the things that you need to be illuminated, so that you can connect the dots, so that you will have the revelation of who he is. But no, oh my goodness, not just who he is, but who you are in him. Peter, of all folks, was obedient to this word right here. Soon as he was endowed with the Spirit of God, see, he already breathed on him and told him to receive it. But he was saturated in that upper room. Oh, shoo. Oh, it breaks his soul. It just stirs up his body, right? His soul, this spirit. When I think about when I got saturated in the Spirit of God, he come up out of there. What did he say? Acts 2:38. Repent for the remissions of your sin and receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Repentance, metanoia. Change the way you think. But it goes on. You're not going to change the way you think unless you encounter something that changes the way you think. He didn't leave us alone. He gave us the comforter. He gave us the counselor. He gave us the Lord inside of us called the Holy Ghost. My goodness, he also gave us the bread of life so that we can come together and we can indulge and go. And my goodness, what's that going to do? The more you read and more you ingest this bread of life, the more you spend time in praying and building yourself up in the Spirit of God. Oh, come on now. The more you're going to do that, the more you're going to change the way you think, and the more you're going to be in line with him. My goodness, which is in line with what? Life itself. Remission. Ephesus, which means to be released from bondage. A forgiveness or a pardon. Go as if you've never been committed before with anything else. will make you free. He'll make you free. It'll make you free. Apostle Paul said, all things are permissible, but not all things are advantages. Because I've learned not to be in bondage to anything else. It's time to knock that dust off them Bibles and put away them iPhones. You can take heed, those with ears, let them hear. I know I'm hearing it. I know I'm feeling it. I know it's time to go. You're going to have an opportunity to leave here and go get you some tacos and chicken wings right here in just a minute. But I pray that you keep this right here and can regurgitate. Just keep doing it like the old cows do. Chew on it for a little while, and if it gets to stomach number one or two, just send it on back up the pipe and let's do it again. Let's pray. Father, we love you, my goodness, and I thank you so much. Because, Lord God, you've gave us the promise, that promise, all who believe, who is entrusted in you, who are willing to proclaim the changing of our minds, Lord God, the way we think, that we want to think like you, we want to act like you, we want to talk like you, not for us to be puffed up, Lord God, just so that you, so that just like what your words say, so they can see the child of God, the Son of God, and believe that they will entrust in you too, Lord, just because of your spirit inside of us. And they will receive the promise, Lord, that they will be kinsmen with us. They will be co-heirs with us, Lord God, in the glory that you have. Come on, Holy Spirit, rain down. Fill us up. Let us be satisfied and have our fill with you, Lord God. But also continue, Lord, to strike up that hunger, to strike up that thirst, Lord. So that your greatest desire, have your way with each and every one, Lord. In your holy name, Lord Jesus. That is the name that you've put on us. And Lord God, if we're not there, you've paid the price. You're willing to keep coming back and breaking us up and putting us down again so that we will not be left the same way, that we will continue to look like you are. We worthy to have your name upon us, Lord God. That you're proud to say, that's my child. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for this wonderful love and the life you've given us, Lord God. And I just continue the eternal life that's yet to come. We praise you and we love you, Lord. If anyone in here has any desire to have more of you today, let them come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How many heard the word of the Lord today? Brother Mike said something about, I think it's a cow chewing on a cud is what it, isn't that what it's, I'm not a farmer, but isn't that what it's supposed to,
what do you regurgitate it?
Well, listen, I don't want to get in trouble with the man of God up here, but there is a way digitally you can re-chew this message today, because Father's Vineyard is now on Spotify. Can they get on their iPhones to listen to your message? Will you give them a break there?
Well,
you won't even give them that.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, just be careful because there's traps laid all in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be wise.
What's the word? Help me out. You're an educated man. What is it? You're on a mission. What does that mean?
Another be word? Intentional.
There it is. You need to be intentional when you get on there.
Well, the best way is just take all the social media apps off your phone. Amen. And leave the Bible app on there.
That's why you're here, brother.
Church app. Go to the church app.
You explained it a lot better than I can.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But anyway, you can go there and you can subscribe on Apple or on Spotify. And you can hear this message all over again. You can hear Pastor John's message, Pastor Terry's message. And you can skip right past mine so you don't even have to deal with that. So we got that. We also want to remind you, Family Day is coming up, fifth Sunday, Family Day. You know what that means? Food! We get to have those tacos. Y'all come out. Mike is bringing his special tacos for that fifth Sunday. He don't even know it yet. But he named it, and I claimed it. So there you go. He'll have that. So we got that going on. We also want to remind you of a couple things about youth choirs starting up. And then also we got a couple people we want to pray for. Put these on your prayer list real quick. Pray for Mike Millwood. He's at the UNC Hospital up in Morganton. But make sure you keep him in your prayers, okay? They're there right now. So we just need the Lord healing, 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 healing. Pray. And so also pray for Brenda Allen and her family. Her son passed away this past Monday. So comfort and peace, Miss Brenda. Those who know Miss Brenda, just pray for that family as well. I think that's it, except for this one I want. And Crystal Daniels wants to say thank you for everyone who's been praying and thinking about her. So she wanted to get that message out. Now, I want to bring up a ministry that dovetails right into what Pastor Brother Mike was saying, and that is this. You know, technology is good when it works and when it's used right, but it can be a detriment, right? And I want to talk to the men in here for just a second. Men, if you've got children, specifically sons, there is a ministry that we've got going on in our church right now, and it's called Trail Life, okay? And when the iPhone don't work and when the Wi-Fi goes out, wouldn't it be nice to know how to fish and get your own food? Wouldn't it be able to know how to do basic life skills and be a man? You know, because your iPhone don't replace that. And if you're looking for a way, men, if you're looking for a way to connect with your boy, if you got a boy at home, or you're a man in here and you feel like you've been called to connect with young men, this is a worthy, worthy ministry. It's starting back up tomorrow night. And you can go to fathersvineyard.org/traillife for more information. But one of the core values of Trail Life USA is it's volunteer-driven, called to impact a generation by giving your time to help our boys. Men across America volunteer in their local troop, working directly with boys, dads, and other mentors to teach skills, plan adventures, grow generations of godly young men of honor to honor God, lead with integrity, and serve others, and experience outdoor adventure. So, boys 5 to 10, we got something for you. Boys 11 to 17, we've got something for you, okay? We got the Woodlands Trail Program for 5 to 10. We've got Navigators and Adventurers Program for ages 11 to 17. Again, they meet tomorrow night, which is Monday at 6:30. Is that right? Not 6:30, not 6:45, so we'll replace that. Thank you, because we went back and forth with a couple on that. So you can go there for more detail. You can get with John Robb with more details. And I want everybody to go to fathersvineyard.org/info after this. And everything that's going on in our church is right there, everything. And I'm telling you, we are blessed here at this church with tons of ministries, tons of ways of getting involved, tons of ways of loving God, loving people, and making a difference, okay? It's all over at fathersvineyard.org/info. And I want you to watch a quick 4 or 5 minute video over there about Trail Life. You will be impressed with what that ministry and this church is doing for this entire community. We got kids that don't even go to church here that's getting a part of that ministry. So I encourage all of you to go over there, okay? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and let his face shine upon you and just blessings in your comings and your goings as you go out into the highways and the byways and you take Christ with you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.